It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We are off and running for this 13th day of November 2018. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. Pop right in. Pick yourself out a screen name and a password. It costs you nothing, but you will be among a merry band of chatters during the hours in which this program is live from 6 to 9 Eastern Standard Time. Yep, we're back to that. It's goddamn dark outside. And, but if you do, you will be immediately greeted by the likes of Anatole and Dowhead and Rally and Urban Prospector and Warrior Witch and more who may be wandering along as the program continues. There's Otto, as a matter of fact. Hey, Otto. And, of course, you'll be moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has folded space to become Man Cave. Yes. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It's Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. Oh, yes, it is. Yeah. So often is the case that Titanic Tuesday follows so closely on the heels of Moran Monday that, well, we have a hard time telling the Morans from the Titanic intellect. And in point of fact, there may actually be no it may be a distinction without a difference. Yes. But before we jump into all of that, thank you very kindly to Steve in New York. Lacoti, L-A-C-O-T-I, that's loud and clear on TuneIn. Thank you very kindly. Yeah, we appear to be streaming merrily along on both the White Rose Society stream and on the HeadOn.live stream. Yay us. It's always good when that's not a thing to, you know, sort of trash my vibe on the front end of the program. But, you know, this is progressive independent broadcasting done on the last frayed thread of a dry-rotted sneaker string. So these things do happen, but not this evening. Mm-hmm. So, let's see. What do we do at the beginning of the program? We thank our subscribers. And the 13th of the month, and I guess it's something about the 13th. The 13th of the month is a lonely, lonely day for subscribers. We have one lonely subscriber, well, a pair, a couple. Gary and Gaia. We send out thanks to Gary and Gaia this evening for their subscription. And I know from previous correspondence that Gary and Gaia would like to have some company. And remember, if we were able to get one brand new $10 a month subscriber every program between now and, say, the end of October next year, we would be very, well, I could stop talking about fundraising, and wouldn't that be cool? But as it stands, we have one lonely subscriber, or one lonely subscribing couple. Sorry, Gary and or Gaia, I apologize. One couple. And if you'd like to join them and provide them a little company on the 13th of the month, well, just run over to HeadOn.live And yeah, I guess this kind of applies only to the people listening live, because it'll be on the 14th by the time with the podcast. And you understand. But at any rate, run over to headon.live, click on PayPal, and check that little box that says make this a recurring or make this happen again and again or whatever it is that it says. Give that a try if you'd like to cut into the 13th of the month loneliness for Gary and Gaia. Okay? And thanks, Gary and Gaia. Thank you so very much. So very much indeed. Let's see. It's been a quiet day in Mount Colby gone. No, don't do that. It's been a long day is what it's been. Agnes and I got up at Sparrow's Fart, and we went over to the local hospital medical center, and Agnes had a stretch test. That's what we call them up here in the hills and hollers, the stretch test. She had a stress test, you know. We're in our 50s now, so, these are the kinds of things that you do. And they had her going at a dead run straight uphill on the treadmill. And she appears to have passed with flying colors. So that's good news. That's the good news. Along the way, though, I checked in with her before anybody goes, "You heartless bastard." We've been having some deflation issues with the tires, and they're only a year and a half old. They probably don't have 25,000 miles on them. So I took them to the place where I got them because they were due for a rotation anyway. And so in so doing, I said, rotate them and probably remount them and balance them because they're not holding air, which is a bad thing for tires. And so I sat around. It finally got done. And they looked at me and said, "Well, the one was just leaking around the bead." And, okay, but the other, your wheel is cracked.
Huh? What?
But, yeah. So now the search for a wheel begins. Pardon me if I feel just a little bit Cro-Magnon in the notion that, well, it's time for Bob to go out on search for wheel. I look for wheel. Where is wheel? Wheel is hard to find. Not many have wheel. Well, the fact of the matter is it probably could buy one right away at some exorbitant brand new price, but it's more of it's like modern urban archaeology to go and try to root one out of a junkyard somewhere. Is wheel cracked? Bob Hope wheel not cracked. In a minute, I'll probably get a text from Agnes telling me to shut up and do the program. I had a nice note from our buddy, Reverbo. You mentioned Elijah Cummings the other night. We love Elijah Cummings here, House rep for over 20 years and one of the good guys. I just voted for him last week. Can't wait for him to chair the Oversight Committee. Oh, me neither. I can't wait for... we'll go down this road real quick. Or maybe not so quick. I mean, we know what this program is. Real quick. It tends to wind up about an hour later. But, as I've said before, let 1,000 investigations bloom. It would not bug me one iota if there were so many investigations going on that Julius Geezer's blood pressure never got down below, say, 500 over 292. It's not a problem for me. And apparently he is flipping out some. He's moved into what can only be described as a sort of a bunker mentality. The LA Times had the story today. Headline, Trump, stung by midterms and nervous about Mueller, retreats from traditional presidential duties, by Eli Stokels. Yeah, that's an interesting way of put it. Retreats from traditional presidential duties. That's an interesting phrase for a guy who was afraid to go out in the fucking rain. Twice. Reporter Eli Stokels says, for weeks this fall, an ebullient President Trump traveled relentlessly to hold Raise the Rafters campaign rallies, sometimes three a day, in states where his presence was likely to help Republicans on the ballot. Now, I'll add editorially that I remain convinced that they had to have him pilled to the gills in order to get him through those three a days. But Mr. Stokels continues and said, but his mood apparently, it's the understatement, it's the apparently that makes it art. But his mood apparently has changed as he has taken measure of the electoral backlash that voters delivered November 6th. Remember, he's still saying he won. With the certainty that the incoming Democratic House majority will go after his tax returns and investigate his actions, and the likelihood of additional indictments by Special Counsel Robert S. Mueller III, Trump has retreated into a cocoon of bitterness and resentment, according to multiple administration sources. He's lashed out at several aides, from junior press assistants to senior officials. He's furious, said one administration official. Most staffers are trying to avoid him. For instance, today, King Abdullah of Jordan, one of our allies, was in D.C. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, you know, he graduated first in his class at West Point. You have to say that about him. Right. King Abdullah met with Mike Pompeo, but, well, they couldn't quite scrounge up the President of the United States to say howdy to one of the few people who unreservedly is supportive of the United States over there in that benighted region. James Mattis said he was going to go down to the U.S.-Mexico border to visit the troops tomorrow, but Trump's not going with him on that trip either. Of course, that might be a good thing for Trump. I'm still engaged in a little bit of magical thinking here. I'd like to believe that James Mattis is absolutely disgusted with the behavior of Julius Geezer in regard to the First World War dead beneath the sod at Ain Marne Cemetery near Belleau Wood in France. We talked about that some on the program last night. I'd like to think he's disgusted and maybe is kind of happy that the Marmalade Mugabe isn't going to be with him. But then again, what's that number? He's played, he's had 66 maggot rallies and he's played 154 rounds of golf, but he has never visited troops in a combat zone. Not that Mexico, the Mexican-U.S. border is a combat zone, but you get the point. So it's a little weird in the White House, and it's apparently gotten so weird. Okay, it's a lot weird in the White House, but that's just any day after January the 20th, 2017, that ends in a goddamn Y. A little weird in the White House, a lot weird in the White House, because apparently melanoma, remember, the first woman ever to be First Lady of the United States with a history of removing her clothes for strangers in exchange for money, it's not a slur. That's just an entirely factual statement. But she has, melanoma has decided to exercise a stronger hand in the day-to-day business, not of first ladying, or clothing removal for that matter, but in the operation of the White House itself. One is tempted to think back to the days of Edith Wilson, who, after Woodrow Wilson, had a big old whopping stroke and was basically a vegetable for the rest of his term, managed to keep the entire government of the United States at bay so that her husband could go on president. Well, while the chlamydia Claudius is huddled in his room, rage-watching Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, apparently melanoma has the knives out. And today she won. According to the Wall Street Journal, not its opinion page, the actual reporting that goes on there, which, as our buddy Steve from Georgistan has pointed out, ain't half bad. The Wall Street Journal has reported that there has been an ongoing feud between a high-ranking National Security Advisor staff member by the name of Mira Ricardo. She's an advisor to Porn Stash Bolton. And she is now gonzo. This is after a statement came out today from melanoma. According to melanoma's spokeswoman, Stephanie Grisham,
it is the position of the Office of the First Lady that she no longer deserves the honor of serving in this White House of Mira Ricardo.
We don't have the time to do the deep dive, but I don't think that happens a lot, that the First Lady starts declaring who can and cannot be a member of the President of the United States' staff. I mean, yeah, you can go back to, say, Nancy Reagan. And she and, who was it? David Stockman, I think it was, didn't get along any too well. But the fact that melanoma declared a member of the White House staff to be persona non grata, and almost immediately thereafter, Geezer Disgustus had John Kelly fire her, is a little bit weird. Okay, it's a lot weird. But then again, I guess the question is anything in this White House truly weird? Or is weird just the order of the day? Mm-hmm. And there are now references to La Familia Trump behaving like a royal family. Amanda Carpenter, who is a commentator over at CNN, said of prima diva, first lady, I'm sorry. Last time I checked, we didn't have a royal family, but they sure like to act like it. How hostile of a workplace is this? They treat the people who go to serve them in good faith with such hostility and slam the door on them as they go out. I mean, I really wanted to give Melania a fair chance, and I thought she was doing a great job as first lady. Well, there you go thinking again, until you've had that moment with the I just don't care jacket. It never ceases to amaze me that there were people who thought, give her a chance. because what didn't the millionaire media understand about her? She's a birther. She's every bit as much of a racist or more so than her filthy husband. Right. Hey, oh well. It's all WWE anyway, isn't it? Lots of weird today. All day long on my Twitter feed, because I was monitoring while I was sitting around waiting on the TARs and whatnot. By the way, Randy tells me fall is a typical time for tires not to hold pressure due to the fact that the air in them shrinks and expands constantly due to changing temperatures. I realize that. And it did so with extreme prejudice. And I don't know what I'm going to do about the wheel cracked. Go figure. Hell, I'm beginning to wonder if they rotated the tires. Yeah. Paranoia will destroy you. Quit that, Bob. Marty pointing out, at least the UK's royal family, even though you hate them, tend to serve in the military. Where have any of the GOP royal families served the country? Well, I don't remember the Bush daughters running out to the front lines in Iraq and Afghanistan, even though women had been allowed into combat. Nope. And then, of course, there's W's own service protecting the Rio Grande Valley from the encroaching hordes of Viet Cong back during his days with the Champagne unit of the Texas Air National Guard. The Romney boys. Yeah, not that bunch that looks like the road company for the Osmond family adventure. No, not them either. And suffice to say that Uday and Kuse or Beavis and Butthead or whatever we're referring to those two eldest Trump boys, the closest they've ever gotten to military service is they've never gotten anywhere within the same galaxy as honorable military service, so we'll leave it at that. Yeah, I know, Ron and Raleigh, but at least I didn't get a Bob for this one. But don't you have to discern Melanoma's intent? Well, I think we kind of got her intent discerned for us real good with that stupid goddamn coat. And then the statement that she is, in fact, the most bullied person on the planet. Wait a minute. I've been a little stingy with the cowbells lately. That or you guys haven't been that funny. I'm not sure which. But Lee in New York's a subject line stress test. My wife has a stress test every time she has to deal with me. Well, it's the same way here. The only thing is I don't have her hooked up with all the monitoring telemetry and everything. So this was actually sort of setting a scientific benchmark as they were able to monitor stress on her ticker without me annoying the living bejesus out of her, at the same time. In other words, it was... it was done under laboratory conditions, yes. As far as Geezer Disgustus's blood pressure is concerned, Lee in New York says, the vagina neck from his small neck-sized dress shirts might explain some of this. If his blood pressure is high and his neck is constrained, maybe his brain doesn't get enough oxygen to function properly. It could have other side effects. I'm thinking of reduced size of hands and genitalia. That's a possibility. Lee adding, stop telling us we're not funny, Bob. Well, Lee's going for the double cowbell tonight, and he has succeeded. Oh, hey, thank you very kindly to Glenn. In memory of my sister Colleen, says Glenn. Thank you. Thank you, Glenn. You just got us started with the warm, fond memories of your sister. And knocked us down from the 375 we were at, and hopefully we'll make some more progress beyond that. Thank you very kindly, Glenn. And my hopes for only the warmest and most joyful and loving thoughts of your sister Colleen. So like I said, it's been a weird day. Down to the point that, like I said, I monitored my Twitter feed. You see what you guys do to me? I try to have a nice linear conversation, and no. But all day long, these tweets kept coming across saying people are saying there could be indictments as early as today, and we're waiting for the other shoe to drop. And so over on MSNBC, Anna Schechter, a reporter for the Daily Beast, showed up. And she announced that she had been scheduled to interview Jerome Corsi today. You remember Jerome Corsi, the right-wing rat-fucker extraordinaire, the guy who brought us the swift boating of John Kerry and sleazed all over his honorable military service in Vietnam. You remember the 2004 Republican National Convention when the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-to-mentalist, amosexual Christian Republicans festooned themselves with Band-Aids that had little purple hearts drawn upon them in mockery of the injuries that John Kerry had sustained in his honorable service? Do you think if you could set the Wayback Machine for that summer of 2004, and you could tell some of those assholes with their Purple Heart Band-Aids, listen, here in about 12 years, your party is going to nominate a guy who got 5 deferments for bullshit bone spurs, and he's going to lay up in a hotel on the 100th anniversary of the armistice to World War I and pout, and maybe have some pillow talk with Vlad Putin instead of honoring the Marines who got slaughtered at Belleau Wood trying to stop a German advance and save Western civilization and all of that stuff. Do you think if you built a time machine and you went back and you said that to them, that they'd go, maybe I don't need to be wearing this fucking Band-Aid? No. They were maggots in the larval stage back then. And after all, they were there to nominate, among others, a man who, 5 deferments? Fuck 5 deferments. We got a vice president over here with 7 deferments and, yeah. So, no. No, I guess not. No. Jack in Shreveport with a note. Trump military service. Are you sure Trump wasn't in the military? He must have been saluting the North Korean general for some reason. Wait a minute. Oh, it's nice to be back. Yeah, you guys. I think maybe we're crawling out of our election week the days. Yeah, well played, Jack. Well played. But anyway, Anna Schechter was going to have an interview with Jerome Corsi, who, meanwhile, has been telling people, yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm going to. And this is one of those Titanic intellect moments, by the way. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm going to get indicted by old Bob Mueller. Because, you know, when they've got all of your emails and all of your comms, it's easy to get caught in their perjury trap. No, he said that. All you got to do is not lie, Jerome, buddy. But, no, but the last I checked, the indictment still hasn't dropped. But he was going to be interviewed by Anna Schechter of the Daily Beast. And she told the folks there at MSNBC, Stephanie Ruhle, I was about to go sit down and tape an interview with him exclusively. He was in a car outside Rockefeller Center, and he didn't come into the building. He doesn't get out of the car. His lawyer says, shut it down. You're not doing the interview. His lawyer just had a call with special counsel's office. He won't tell me what transpired in that call. It just gets better and better and better. Yeah. And in a follow-up to what we were talking about on Friday, a rather lengthy discussion about how one goes about challenging the status of Hot Tub Whitaker, who, by the way, since we've already hearkened back once to the reign of error, you know, he was a U.S. attorney in Iowa during the reign of error. And among other things, he tormented a person. You remember what Turd Blossom did during the reign of error, getting U.S., you know, hand-picked pet U.S. attorneys to go after Democrats for, you know, being Democrats. Well, Hot Tub Whitaker was in on that. He tried to torment an Iowa office holder. And it's a hell of a story. Matt McCoy is a state senator from the 21st District of Iowa. And a couple of days ago, on Sunday, Politico published a story headlined, "I Was the Subject of a Political Witch Hunt. Matt Whitaker directed it." And it's a harrowing tale of it's an absolutely harrowing tale of a guy simply trying to live his life and do business, and having a pair of humorless FBI agents show up on his stoop to tell him that he was being investigated for issues related to bribery in violation of the Hobbs Act, which Matt McCoy says he later remembered had to do with bribery and robbery and extortion for the most part. And then they played him a tape, Matt McCoy, of Matt McCoy talking with his business partner, a man named Tom Vasquez. And it all had to do with a consulting arrangement and monitoring systems for senior citizens in Iowa. And Hot Tub Whitaker's theory of the case was that the guy who did the consulting work, wanting to be paid and threatening to go off and do his own thing, constituted a violation of the Hobbs Act. The FBI, in fact, said that that was extortion by an elected Iowa state senator. He goes on to say that the Des Moines Register reported during my eventual trial, because Hot Tub Whitaker took it all the way to trial, that numerous Iowa officials had denied threats by McCoy and insisted that no single senator would have the power to influence purchasing decisions by the state. Nonetheless, the FBI, acting on the direction of Hot Tub McCoy, and remember, we call him Hot Tub McCoy because he himself was involved in a vicious scam that did people out of God knows how much money, and he was the enforcer in it until it was eventually shut down by court action. But they tried to put the screws to Matt McCoy to get him to name names. And David Yepsen of the Des Moines Register said, "It appears the U.S. attorney, Matt Whitaker," that was before they were calling him Hot Tub Whitaker. Actually, I'm the only one so far who's calling him Hot Tub Whitaker, but never mind. It appears that the U.S. Attorney, Matt Whitaker, is aggressively going after the city's Southside Democratic Organization the way it does business. That's what it was. It was, as Matt McCoy says in Whitaker's own recent words, a witch hunt. The FBI agents who visited me that day were saying that if I snitched on my Senate colleagues, Whitaker's office might be lenient with me. This is all standard practice for the Department of Justice, of course, and similar to the tactics that Special Counsel Robert Mueller, who Whitaker has repeatedly criticized, has used in his ongoing investigation, but ignoring the fact that I had no knowledge of what I was supposed to have done illegally, let alone knowledge of illegal actions on the part of others. And that's the difference between Hot Tub Whitaker and Robert Mueller. He's not operating his office as a... an extortion scam. Then it came out that the FBI had paid some $2,200 to his former business partner, McCoy's former business partner, Vasquez, to clandestinely record the conversation, that would being the tape that they later played for McCoy there when they came a-visiting. Had he been convicted, he would have faced something on the order of a $250,000 fine and some 20 years in the federal stir. And then when they got Vasquez on the stand, because they took it all the way to trial, Vasquez himself had a horrible case of the I can't remembers. Matt McCoy was acquitted. It took the jury all of 25 minutes to say, oh, no, really, no. Well, this is the Matt Whitaker who appears to think that he runs the Department of Justice now. He's never been confirmed by the Senate for any of these senior leadership roles. The overarching statutes don't apply. And in point of fact, well, today, Maryland. Bless your heart, Maryland, answering some of the questions that we were asking in the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable this past Friday evening, sued the federal government. They sued the federal government, alleging that Matthew Hot Tub Whitaker, who believes that federal judges should all be Christians, by the way, I mean, that's not me saying that. He said that. This lawsuit claims that that Julius Geiser has gone beyond any constitutional authority he has and has in fact violated federal law to install Hot Tub Whitaker as so-called acting attorney general. I knew somebody would. Filing before U.S. District Judge Ellen Hollander in Maryland, the state of Maryland, and it is a state, it's not a commonwealth, is it? I can't keep my commonwealth straight. But anyway, Maryland has implored U.S. District Judge Ellen Hollander to prevent Whitaker from appearing in any official capacity as acting attorney general in any existing litigation related to the Affordable Care Act, and that instead Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein should be substituted in his place. Meanwhile, bless him, the city of San Francisco has told the Justice Department that they're thinking about suing too. So let's see if the let's see if there's anything left to the United States federal court system, or whether it's been hollowed out entirely. It sort of goes without saying that this will probably wind up in the Supreme Court. The question is, will it be mooted out before it gets to the Supreme Court by virtue of Julius Geiser actually nominating somebody to be the Attorney General? But he's having a hard time with the notion of nominating a new Attorney General. I imagine, A, he might be having a little bit of a little bit of difficulty finding someone to take it.
Over here, Mr. President, me, little old Lindsay, it's me, Mr. President.
I saw rumors that he might decide to nominate Chris Christie. Really, man, that's a case of no self-respect. Get treated like shit and come back and, well, hit me again. I can put a little stank on it. But he needs to get an attorney general in, but he can't be sure that in a confirmation vote on the floor, I mean, he can probably get it past the Judiciary Committee, but in a vote on the floor at this point in time, who knows? Those two famous Parthian archers with the rubber-tipped arrows, Bob Corker and Jeff Flake, might just vote no. Maybe Susan Collins would. Oh, dear God, I am so not up for Susan Collins watch all the way through the holiday season. Spare me, O Lord. So that's kind of a mess that has to wait till the new Congress. And that in itself creates problems. So, what's a poor Russian puppet to do? That's good. Arnold points out. Arnold up in PA points out, it might be hard to find someone less qualified than Chris Christie. Oh, don't sell them short. They've already found Hot Tub Whitaker. Steve in New York says, Maryland case prediction dismissed for lack of subject matter jurisdiction. I don't know, Steve, if he is improperly in the office and if there is litigation before the court, then the court has jurisdiction. Because any appearance by any U.S. attorney, that U.S. attorney is effectively appearing on behalf of the attorney general. Wouldn't that be how it works? So, watch this space, as they say. But the weird, well, what did Hunter S. Thompson say? When the going gets weird, the weird turn pro. Little motion practice going on in federal court today. You might recall that George Papadopoulos, whom Donald Trump swore he had never heard of,
so tall, kind of Greek guy, yet never heard of him.
Well, George Papadopoulos turned turtle on Trump and entered a guilty plea with Bob Mueller. That was back in September. He got a 14-day sentence in the joint. 14 days in the joint. And that's not even up to 30 days in the hole standards. But he got 14 days in the joint for pleading guilty to lying to FBI agents. And he lied to them about his contacts with Russian nationals during the 2016 campaign. But since his sentencing, and has he served his time? Has he rehabilitated yet? I'm not sure. Well, but he agreed to cooperate with the ongoing investigation by Robert Mueller. Remember, he was a foreign policy advisor for campaign Trump.
MAGA.
Since then, he's been pissing and moaning about how he was framed.
I was framed, man. I was framed. They framed me.
And he's been all over Twitter doing that.
The British and the Australians, their intelligence, they framed me because they were trying to undermine the Trump campaign.
Well, as a result of that blathering, a pair of lawyers named Thomas Breen and Robert Stanley, who coincidentally were lawyers for George Papadopoulos, well, they moved the court today for leave to withdraw from any representation of George Papadopoulos. Because, well, they said, well, he's hired at least one other lawyer, so we'd like to get away from him before our law license to vaporize, it merely from being in his presence. Oh, thank you, Steve from Georgia Stan. 30 days in the hole, eat your humble pie, Bob. Always makes me happy. That's one of those happy old DJ moments. Steve says there's no standing in the Maryland case because it's a political question, the political question doctrine, saying that the courts do not inveigh on political questions. But is it a political question when there's a clearly delineated statute that addresses the issue? That sounds like a statutory question, isn't it? Thank you for the Commonwealth update. Four of the 50 are Commonwealths. Kentucky, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. Well, I knew Massachusetts, and I knew Kentucky, and yep, I was sure, okay. I just wasn't sure. Maybe I was mixing Maryland up with the border states from the recent unpleasantness. By the way, Steve points out, on a completely different note, I, for one, thought Friday on the front porch last week was one of the best I can remember. It was a dandy. And we get into some great stuff on Friday on the front porch. And a reminder, you know, for everybody who gets in on Friday on the front porch and would like to say more, this program is live from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday. We're not just on the air for Friday on the front porch. So you can air your thoughts Monday through Friday as well and maybe have a somewhat better fighting chance of getting a lot more talking in. Just, you know, saying. By the way, a follow-up to the Baraboo, Wisconsin story last night. You know the one where all the boys from the class of 2019 at their prom or whatever were, well, not all of them, but most of them, were giving the Sieg Heil salute. The guy who shot the photograph, who is also a parent at the school, tried to say, "I just told them to raise their hands like they were waving bye-bye to mom and dad." That didn't last very long because a young man named Jordan Blue, a student at the school, the one who did not raise his arm in a stiff arm salute, said, "Nah, that wasn't exactly how it was." Racism and bullying have been rampant at that school, he said, for the entire time he's been there. So, no, nobody. And it just looked like a Hitler salute because they were in various stages of waving bye-bye. I guess one kid waves bye-bye by giving the white power salute, you know, the WP. Jesus. Stacey Abrams had a victory in Georgia today. The federal court there, answering Brian Kemp, said we don't care who wins. We don't care who wins the election. We care that the people who voted in the election get their votes counted. And this was by way of rejecting a Brian Kemp claim that, gosh, some votes just shouldn't be. Meanwhile, as David in South Carolina, Stan, has reminded me, in Florida, and this is not a joke, this isn't some parody, this isn't The Onion or anything like that. Up in the more maggot-infested parts of Florida, election officials there let voters in Bay County, which is seriously maggot-infested, and this is also where the hurricane passed through. So, take that into account. Election officials there, the election supervisor there, let people vote, wait for this, by email and by fax machine. I wish I was kidding. 147 voters returned ballots through email. Only 10 of them, however, were purely email-to-email interactions. This according to Politico. In other cases, yes, voters used fax machines. That's permitted by state law for voters overseas. This, meanwhile, at the same time that Republicans are having a shit hemorrhage down in Broward County, and where they're doing the Republicans are doing their dead level best to have a repeat of the Brooks Brothers riot of 2000. At the office of the Broward County Supervisor of Elections in Lauderhill, Florida, a pair of maggot ladies, one of them wearing a urine-colored snake flag shirt, decided to make miserable a woman of an African American woman who was conveniently near to them.
Listen, it's all about let's vote black. That's all it is. That's all it is.
Identity politics.
That's all it is.
It's all about let's vote black. Identity politics. That's all it is.
I mean.
One African-American person was standing on a bench holding a Gillum shirt, and the maggots immediately converged.
Why do you support Gillum? Because he's black.
My personal favorite is the guy who, the white guy who comes into the frame and says, "How much is George Soros paying you?" About 2 hours later, lo and behold, those same two cranky white ladies, one of whom, again, was wearing a urine-colored snake flag, showed up in a slightly different location where they began to exaggeratedly dance in mockery of an African-American Floridian. By the way, white lady, can't dance for beans. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Going back to George Papadopoulos, Ron in Raleigh says, 14 days? So George Papadopoulos got 14 days for lying to the FBI. How long did Martha Stewart stay in the Gray Bar Hotel for lying to the FBI? Yeah, it wasn't no 14 days. I-O-K-I-Y-A-M. It's okay if you're a maggot. Steve in New York, Soros payments. Are we receiving a W-2 or a 1099? No, it's all in cash. Ixnay. On the Orms Fay. But I guess nobody, the maggot ladies didn't get, you know, in South Florida, no less, didn't get the memo that 11 Jewish people were slaughtered by a Nazi maggot inflamed by the George Soros rhetoric. Or that George Soros himself was sent pipe bombs, or sent a pipe bomb. Yeah, no, no, not so much. Let's run over to the stress line and see who's on the toll-free. Hey, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Bob? It's me, Reggie.
Hey, Reggie, how are you, man?
Just fine, man, just fine. Well, do you think that CNN should sue the White House for revoking Jim Acosta's hard pass? Or do you think it's not going to go anywhere?
I think the only way to make sure that it goes nowhere is not to do it.
Why don't you want him to do it?
I didn't say I didn't want him to do it. I said the only way to make sure that nothing happens is to not do it.
Oh, okay. So you think that
I support CNN in this filing.
Oh, you do? Okay. Okay, you do. So they shouldn't revoke his hard pass.
No, they shouldn't have, in light of the fact that the entire thing was a fraud.
Right. But you got people like Dana Loesch saying that this isn't about a free speech issue, that he can still go up there and do his job. It's just that he can't go back and forth without his hard.
Reggie, Dana Loesch is a liar.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean, that's all there is. Dana Loesch is a liar.
Uh-huh.
The truth ain't in her.
Oh, right.
You know, she had no problem promulgating that doctored up video from Alex Jones and InfoWars, just like Kellyanne Skeletor didn't.
Right. Or Sarah Sanders.
Well,
who said that CNN is just doing this as more grandstanding and they'll defend this lawsuit?
Well, she has to say they'll defend the lawsuit. That's all she can say.
Yeah, like you said, they're all liars, right? I mean, this is, and that he's a grandstanding, I don't know, glory hog reporter, news reporter. That's what they all would say to him.
But again, you know, this ain't my first rodeo, and the fact of the matter is, Trump called on Jim Acosta. Trump was spoiling for a fight that day. And he actually precipitated it.
Right. Right, he did. And, you know...
I mean, when the President of the United States... And this is one of those questions about, do the laws of the country apply to the President of the United States? When the President of the United States uses what are known in legal circles as fighting words...
Right.
What's the recourse of the person he has assaulted with those words?
Sue him, I guess, maybe.
Well, maybe look up the idea of fighting words.
Right.
And see where that takes you.
Right. But now they, you know, now they're saying that they're going to sue his aide, one of those guys, or the one of those Secret Service aides.
Well, they've sued them all. They've sued Trump. They've sued the Secret Service. They've sued Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags. I think did they sue the intern, and they've sued a John Doe member of the Secret Service because they don't know the name of the guy who confiscated the pass. That's that you have to sue them all. Let's sue them all and let God sort them out.
Right, and then you got people like Dana Loesch saying that this is all the way. He's trying to get his own radio. That Jim Acosta is trying to get his own TV talk show on CNN. That's why he's doing all this.
He works for a TV network. He can be on all the TV programming he wants.
Right.
Jesus, she's pitiful.
Yes, she is. She doesn't think that this lawsuit will happen. Or if it does happen, she hopes that CNN side will lose the lawsuit.
Well, it's already happened. It's already been filed.
Right. And that she says that she's never heard anybody more self-obsessed than him.
Which is absolutely freaking hilarious, considering that, you know, we're talking about, well, Dana Loesch.
Yeah. This is the exact same woman who herself is trying to sue Media Matters because they took all of her words over the years out of context. Well, that's what she claims that they've done to her.
Yeah, well, anytime a Republican says they've been taken out of context, how that's generally defined is that the people in question have published every word that she said, and she doesn't like it.
Right. You mean just like Donald Trump doesn't like Jim Acosta questioning him. And like you said, Sarah Hasselbeck said that they don't tolerate reporters disrespecting them or the president. They try to ask questions, or when they try to respond to them to their questions, and that he doesn't let other reporters ask their questions of them. You know, he likes to hog the spotlight. To them, he's a glory hog, I guess.
But that's a load of baloney.
Why do you say that, Bob?
Because he sits there and he calls. He's the president of the United States. He can call on whom he please.
Yes, he can. But he said
and he pleased on that particular day to call on Jim Acosta because he comes from the world. Because he, Trump, comes from the world of professional wrestling, and this was a setup.
So it was. So I'm sure Jim Acosta can say that in court too. I hope that he was set up.
I don't know that he would say he was set up, but the onus falls upon Donald Trump because Donald Trump is the one who called on him.
Right. Well, I just hope that Jim Acosta wins. But what if they still don't give him back his hard pass? You know, what if they don't? What if they still don't return it to him? After all this is said and done, what should happen then?
Well, that question itself is premature.
Right.
Because it hasn't been litigated. There's an entire appeals process after the initial trial. One would think that perhaps remember, this is Donald Trump who says, I never settle anything. I take everything to trial and then settles everything.
Right. So you think he'll settle this?
At some point in time, they may hand his hard pass back and say, well, you know, this is because we're such decent people.
Right. Right. I mean, I just hope that this doesn't happen to anybody else. Do you, Bob?
Where this is concerned, Reggie, I'm not in the hoping business.
Oh, right.
You know, this is just the world we live in.
Yeah,
and they are at war. They're at war with anyone who. Remember, the definition of fake news is anything Donald Trump doesn't like.
Right, right. But yet he goes on Fox News itself, which is fake news itself. Number one.
Well, but see, there's even a Fox News program or problem because even Fox News has begun to criticize him a little bit tepidly here and there.
I'm surprised they started doing that at all. Why haven't they done that in the first place in the beginning?
Because they're not a journalism organization.
Right.
They're a house organ.
Well, they should be put out of business. Right?
Well,
they should be checked at least.
Well, they should. Well, how to put this?
They should
do journalism. Yeah.
Right.
And there's a little bit of journalism that happens there every once in a while. Occasionally Shepard Smith can be credibly accused of being a journalist.
Right.
But beyond that, not so much. I mean, the fact that Sean Hannity chose to lecture Jim Acosta the other day was absolutely hilarious.
What did he say to him or about him?
Oh, he said he was a disgrace to journalism.
Yeah.
You know, the headline should have read, Disgrace to Journalism accuses someone of being disgraced to journalism.
Oh, so this is coming from a disgraceful journalist himself, Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity is a disgrace to journalism. Sean Hannity is not a journalist.
Right. Neither are the rest of them over there. You know, like the ones on Fox and Friends and Jeanine Pirro and the Five and Outnumbered.
Yeah, those are all opinion programs.
Right. But you got the, yeah, that's true. And you got Jeanine Pirro over there. She's not a journalist either.
No. Neither's Laura Ingraham. Neither was Bill O'Reilly. Neither is Jesse Waters. Neither are Kilmeade and Douchey and whichever attack blonde is sitting between them these days. Neither are the women on Outnumbered. Neither are the people on The Five. Who names this crap?
I guess they do. Yeah, who names this crap? I guess they do. Yeah, I guess they do. But yeah, they should fire those guys and hire actual journalists if they want to become a real journalism network.
Well, I saw a remark earlier today saying that most European countries don't allow Fox to run because it does not meet legal standards of journalism. And then there was that famous Canadian case where Fox's lawyers pled in Canadian court that Fox is not a news outlet, that it is, in fact, an entertainment channel.
Right. That's true. Right. Right. That's true. And, well, you gotta blame and thank Rupert Murdoch for that.
Well,
bringing Fox before the entire world to us all. But go ahead, Bob.
No, that's okay. I mean, it's like Steve from New York just wrote in, "Oh, dear, dear, Bob, the Hannity job is just a disgrace. Let's be as overbroad as we want to." See what I did there with that First Amendment principle? Yeah, overbroad. Yes, I do see.
There's one pseudo journalist that we forgot, and her name is Megyn Kelly. She's not a journalist either.
Well, she's long, but she's gone from Fox, and now mercifully she's gone from NBC, and even Fox has said, "Nah, we don't particularly want her."
They don't want her back?
No.
I'm surprised. What about this bleach blonde bimbo? Tommy, what's her name? Tommy Lawrence.
Well, not a journalist.
Right.
God, somebody ate her lunch and dumped the bag on her head recently. I can't remember who that was, but it was funny.
I bet it was. Was it on Twitter?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Must have been Candace Owens.
Maybe. Possibly. Yeah, maybe.
Right. But what about the journalists on the rest of the networks, like CNN?
We don't really have time to. Go over each and every member of the Fourth Estate, as in any instance, there are good and there are bad, but the display last week that Trump put on of deliberately and specifically going after women of color who are journalists, really, how many times do we have to be told that Donald Trump is a racist before we actually say, well, we really don't need to debate this anymore. Donald Trump is a racist.
Well, like you said, they should have a boycott of covering him, right? There should be no more coverage of him. They should walk out and protest, right, Bob?
Well, no, I'm not necessarily going to say that because if the decent journalists were to walk out and protest, that would leave nothing but a room full of maggots, and that's why they have been packing the White House press room with maggots. And he calls on the maggots. All right.
Right.
Who was the guy? I mentioned it the other night. Maybe it was Thursday night on the air. A white supremacist braying about. Guess who's at the White House today? You know him.
Right. Well, I don't know who that guy was. It wasn't Steve Bannon, was it?
Oh no! It was one of those people that are variously referred to as a white nationalist or alt-right or. Yeah.
Right.
I think he was from Identity Evropa.
Well, whatever that is.
Oh, that's a bunch of Nazis.
Yeah, it is. So I just hope that that this all plays out, that Jim Acosta wins his lawsuit and gets his hard pass back. And prove people like Dana Loesch and everybody else wrong, because if this keeps happening, if he doesn't win, what does it mean for journalism and democracy or free democracy? What does it mean for journalists and journalism? What does it mean for the mainstream media? Go ahead, Bob.
This case is not going to be the be-all and end-all of anything.
Oh, right. Why you say that, Bob? Why you say that?
Because it's one case about one reporter.
Right.
But that they might feel emboldened if they win this.
Yes.
But most of the expert opinion I've read today suggests that they will not win this.
Oh, he won't. So they're saying that he should just drop this lawsuit, period? Are they saying that?
No. They're saying that White House won't win it. That the White House is in over its head.
Oh. So you think
the minute they try to play that dummied up video that they relied upon in front of an actual Article III judge, the whole thing's going to collapse like a house of cards.
Right, but like you said, that came from InfoWars in general, and specifically Alex Jones himself in particular.
Well, I don't know that it came from Alex Jones in particular, but it certainly was generated out of InfoWars. But the fact of the matter is, if they try to play that in front of a federal judge, it's not going to last. It's going to fall apart.
Right. So you think they should just settle? The White House, I mean.
I can't tell you what the White House should do. The White House never should have started this problem in the beginning. There's an old saying out there: you don't fight wars with people who buy ink by the barrel.
Right. Well, that's the president's fault. Like you said, he started or precipitated it or perpetrated it or perpetuated it.
No, I think he. I think he was. I prefer plain language. He was spoiling for a fight.
Yes.
And he was combative that entire day, the way he treated April Ryan.
Right. And those other two black reporters, right?
Well, one of them wasn't in the room at that point in time.
Well, and the other black reporter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but like you said, he was born for a fight. Him, Sarah Sanders, and I don't know who else. Right. I guess just those two. They were born for a fight.
Well, I don't know what kind of planning went on in the background, but it's obvious if you watch the video that Trump calls on Acosta. Acosta asks his question, and then there's this thing, it's like a verbal tic that Trump does when he doesn't like the question he's being asked, and he starts saying, "Excuse me, excuse me, excuse me."
Right.
And that's when you know he's been cornered.
Right. And no, he did not physically assault. I mean, Jim Acosta didn't physically assault that female young intern who was trying to pull the microphone.
Well,
out
look, the old common law definition of assault.
Yeah.
Is to put someone in reasonable fear of immediately receiving an insulting, an unconsented to touching of an insulting or provoking nature.
Right, and he didn't do that. Just simply.
No, he didn't menace her. He didn't give her the stink eye. He didn't do anything of the sort.
Yeah, just simply because his time was up, or his perceived time was up, I guess by the president or by the press secretary.
Well, it's not by the president. No, it's just. It is an arbitrary exercise of power for improper purposes. Let's try that, shall we?
Right. And you know who else isn't a journalist? Geraldo Rivera. I wanted to add him to the collective mix. He works for Fox News too, Bob.
Well, let's just make it easy and say there's not a lot of journalism that goes on over at Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda. Hey, Reggie, I tell you what, it's been a good conversation. I'm going to roll on here because I don't know if you heard it or not, but... You've got folks inspired to call in, so there was some beeping going on. We'll see how it goes, man. Good to hear from you. You take care now.
Yeah, you do too, Bob.
All right, bye now.
Again, don't be a stranger, man. Bye now.
You neither. Later now.
All right.
That's Reggie. I'm trying to. What, Georgia? Maybe. Not sure. No, somebody was trying to dial in on the stress line. Both lines are open if you want to jump into the conversation. The stress line, of course, is 304-640-2829 or 844-843-4676. Both numbers ring in there. Toll free if you need us to pay the freight and you don't have some sort of unlimited long-distance dialing plan with your cell phone or your hardline phone, for that matter. Most hardline phones come with unlimited long-distance these days. Or 304-574-8178, and that's the same line that's attached to Skype Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. It's about 20 minutes past the hour on this Titanic Tuesday. It just gets more Titanic by the moment. It being a Tuesday, we have the Green News Report, courtesy of Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. And Glenn, very kindly jumped into the fundraising this evening. We had a goose egg last night. We only had $175 to raise instead of the usual $200. We got the usual 200 this evening, so that's 375. Glenn took it down to 365. Thank you, Glenn, so very, very kindly. And hopefully you'll have some company this evening, because things get a little weird around the middle of the month, which is where we are at present, mid-month. Let's take a break, check in with Brad and Desi, and then get back to your calls or my fellow Bobsters or, oh, I don't know, maybe we'll sit around and tell dirty jokes. Who knows? This is listener-supported, emphasis on the phrase listener-supported, conversation radio. And thank you very kindly to our dear friend Jude in the far northwest who's jumping in. Thank you very kindly, Jude. Thank you very kindly indeed. We'll be back after the Green News Report.
It's Tuesday, November 13, 2018.
This latest round of fires is the most destructive in California state history.
The most destructive and now the most deadly. Kids landmark climate lawsuit against the federal government on hold yet again. Plus,
it was a political decision made by a judge. I think it's a disgrace.
Judge halts all work on controversial Keystone XL pipeline. Donald Trump is sad.
All of those stories and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
48,000 jobs. I approved it. It's ready to start.
48,000 jobs on the Keystone XL pipeline. Really? Why not just say 48 million jobs? Why not 48 quadrillion jobs? They're all lies. This is your Green News Report. I'm gonna soak up the sun. Okay, Desi Doyen, having some fun at Trump's sad, pathetic expense. Unfortunately, however, first, we've got to get to some very sad news out here in California.
Yes, California is again grappling with record-breaking, catastrophic, deadly wildfires. Three major fires now burning in both northern and southern California that, as of airtime, have killed more than 40 people combined and forced more than 300,000 to evacuate. The largest of the fires, the Camp Fire in northern California, went from spark to the most destructive fire in state history in just 48 hours. As of Monday, it became the deadliest as well in state history. Driven by extremely dry weather and high winds, it spread at the speed of 80 football fields a minute, faster than many could evacuate. More than 200 people are still unaccounted for, nearly 7,000 structures destroyed, most of them homes. The state's previous record for the most destructive fire was set just last year.
And of course, like last year, Donald Trump is claiming that all of this is because of forest mismanagement or some other nonsense. Any truth to that?
Absolutely not. State and local fire officials have rejected those tweets by President Trump that were attacking California and wrongly blaming forest management for the deadly fires. Brian Rice, president of the California Professional Firefighters Association, called Trump's comments, quote, reckless and dangerously wrong.
Yeah, I suppose all those folks who live on the beach in Malibu would be shocked to hear that it's because of forest mismanagement that has threatened their homes.
In the middle of an urban area.
Right.
No official cause for the fires has been determined yet, but state regulators on Monday said they are investigating utility companies, Pacific Gas and Electric and Southern California Edison, which both reported equipment failures in the vicinities of all three fires just minutes before each fire began. PG&E is already facing billions of dollars in liability after state agency Cal Fire determined that PG&E's equipment was the cause of those several deadly catastrophic Northern California wildfires last year. But California's outgoing Democratic Governor Jerry Brown, in a press conference on Monday, placed the blame squarely on climate change, noting that fire season has now become a year-round threat in the state.
This is not the new normal. This is the new abnormal. And this new abnormal will continue, certainly in the next 10 to 15 to 20 years. And unfortunately, the best science is telling us that dryness, warmth, drought, all those things, they're going to intensify.
In other news, the sweeping historic climate lawsuit brought by a group of kids against the federal government is on hold again, just days after the U.S. Supreme Court lifted a temporary stay on the trial. 21 children and young adults under the age of 22 are suing the federal government, saying its failure to act on climate change is a violation of their constitutional rights to life and liberty. Late last week, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals again halted that trial, which had been slated to start in late October. The judges ruled the Trump Department of Justice, quote, raises issues that warrant an answer. The children's lawyers must file a reply by November 23rd. Finally, a federal judge has ordered both the Trump administration and TransCanada to stop all work on the controversial Keystone XL pipeline, ruling that President Trump's approval of the pipeline's cross-border permit last year violated several key environmental and administrative laws. The judges ruled that the administration simply discarded climate facts in its analysis supporting the pipeline. Quote, an agency cannot simply disregard contrary or inconvenient factual determinations on climate change. The State Department must now complete a new supplemental environmental impact statement that accounts for the effects of climate change and the impacts of potential oil spills on Native American tribal resources.
So they can't just change policy because they want to. They actually have to show that there's evidence to support good reason for changing this policy?
Exactly.
Well, what about 48,000 new jobs that would be created, as Donald Trump said?
Why not 40 billion?
Exactly. In truth, how many jobs are we talking about for the KXL?
Less than 4,000 temporary jobs, only 35 permanent jobs.
35 permanent jobs.
Mm-hmm.
For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us, follow us, and share us worldwide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Oh, I like that song. I do. 26 minutes past the hour. Titanic Tuesday on the horn, trying to knock down a $365 fundraising goal over the course. You know, we do $200 a night. That's what we try to do. And, like I said, so far, Glenn and Gary and Gaia, Gary and Gaia by a subscription, and Glenn this evening jumping in memory of his sister, are the ones standing in the breach tonight. Let's run back over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program. You were there a minute ago. You're still there. Hello? Are you shy? I've got the right button pushed. I hear a click. Oh, dadgummit. Now, hold on. Huh. Apparently somebody got on hold and then... scampered off. They scampered. Well, try again. But you know, you kind of need to hang around the phone if you're right. So we'll see what happens. It is in fact Titanic Tuesday. A celebration of Titanic intellect, Titanic right wing intellect. Usually we say white wing, but it's not always applicable. Once upon a time, a man named E.W. Jackson was, I believe, the lieutenant governor of the Commonwealth, the Old Dominion of Virginia. All right, let's see if this is going to happen. Okay, on the stress line, are you there?
Bob?
Yes.
This is Rhonda.
Well, hey, Rhonda. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good, I think. Was that you a minute ago? I didn't mean to hang up on you. I just kept hollering.
Yes,
are you?
It was. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. I'm a veteran, and I'm very upset with our commander in chief.
To be fair, Rhonda, he's the commander in chief. The way I'm the emperor of the space forces of the amorphous, multi-limbed people of Norblap 9. Okay, I mean, he is a mockery of a commander in chief. But yeah, let's go from there.
Yes, sir. Yes, I want to first of all tell you it's taken me a very long time to call in to you because I have PTSD, and there are many of veterans that suffer from that. And I also want to let you know that sometimes we tend to have avoidance, where we won't want to speak out. But tonight, I thought, well, this is a good time to do that. Not sure why, but I will tell you, I think it's because of the news. We've got a commander-in-chief that could not lay a wreath. We've got veterans. And he's hiding in his room or wherever he may be. And I'm just absolutely devastated by the way that our country is moving. We must take all of us, I'm talking every one of us. We must take hold and move this country to a better place, and that takes being informed. It takes all of us being involved. It takes all of us voting, of which I did, and I was very proud of what happened with the Democrats, the Democrats, and everything that happened with them. And But all I'm saying is, Bob, how do you feel about all of this?
Well, as I said last night, Rhonda, I didn't serve. My generation was not called upon for much. And so, long time ago, I took a run at trying to get into the Naval Academy. And then I decided maybe it wasn't the right thing for me to do.
Why didn't you go into the Naval Academy?
Because Ronald Reagan had just been elected president, and I didn't want to. I didn't think that I could ever serve under a human monster like he was.
Yeah, he did. He did a lot of deregulation, which affected our Social Security, even to this day. I don't think a lot of people
realize you can't have Trump without having Reagan. Okay, he's the father of all the vile hatefulness that infects the Republican Party today.
But
moral majority comes along at the same time. And they enter into an unholy alliance, even though Ronald Reagan was never much in the way of being a Christian. But that's okay. They were willing to co-opt him, the religious right was, just like they're more than willing to sit and watch Donald Trump spit all over the teachings of Christ Jesus in order to get some political power. But you asked me why I was offended, and what I was going to say is, you know, I didn't serve, but I've been surrounded all my life with people who did. And particularly people who served in the Second World War.
I'm one of them, Bob.
Yeah, but in my own family, I was surrounded by people who served in the Second World War, so I was deeply imbued with a sense of respect for what that generation did. And as a consequence, and I was taught my history, and I learned, as I said last night, what went on at Belleau Wood and in the Somme campaign. And I know what the sacrifices were, not only of American service personnel, but of British and French as well, and Italian. And as a consequence of that, to see the utter disrespect and the absolute disdain. This is a man who couldn't even go and lay a wreath at Arlington because it was supposed to rain at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And he's sickening. And, you know, maybe Rhonda, maybe 10 years from now, we'll get some tell-all books talking about how there were times that they just couldn't let him out of the White House because he was a gibbering maniac who was liable to tear his clothes off and wave his penis at the crowd or something. Maybe we'll find that out. I suspect that may be true. He spent all day yesterday, all day Veterans Day, locked away in his little bedroom, tweeting furiously at his perceived political enemies. The man's not screwed down, Rhonda.
Well, I think many people need to understand what a malignant narcissist is. And they implode, they destroy everything around them. And he has... There's no question that we are living in tumultuous times, as our forefathers felt at the time. But the reason I called you, and really it took a lot for me to do that.
And I respect that, Rhonda, and take all the time you need. I try to be as solicitous as I can, because I know that sometimes it takes courage to call a program, but I'll try to make it as easy as I possibly can.
Well, you know, you're incredible. You are, and to me, you are incredible, and I know everybody that adores you feels the same way. But aside of the fact that you're very likable and wonderful and everything that people who listen to you adore, and people who are afraid to speak out probably say, God, that's a wonderful guy, and he speaks everything that I'm thinking. And I'm certain there are many people out there that are thinking that and going, oh, yay, yes, that's true. The reason really that I called is because this is a really pathetic, disgusting period in our time where we have a commander-in-chief, and I'm a veteran. Okay, so, and aside of that, not so much, but aside of that, that this person, I really believe, honest to God, I really do believe this. He's got an alien brain that is not like our brain. Okay, this man has been privileged from the time of birth, and I had everything given to him, never learned how to socialize, never learned how to, Bob, he never learned how to deal with people, and we've got this person in charge of our country. For God's sakes, this is very scary times. If there aren't anybody, I can't imagine, and I still wonder how people can go to these rallies and scream their USA or whatever they're doing, and all these weird things we're seeing on the news. I have never in my lifetime, anyway, in my lifetime, seen the intensity of people acting like they're crazy. Crazy, nutty as a loon. And the whole thing about it is that I called you because I want to know, am I losing my mind? Am I feeling that there is something unhinged? Am I feeling that I'm the only one? And I know I'm not. But at the same token, how do you articulate this in a way that other people can understand? We've got a really big problem, and not only nationally, but worldly, because the world is looking at us as if we have lost our minds, and that really bothers me. I just want to know your opinion on that matter.
I think you've said very, very well. Anything that I might, anything I say is going to be an embellishment to the truth that you've spoken, Rhonda. I can't give any advice for how to get from day one to day two, because like so many people here during this this ongoing nightmare that began on January the 20th, 2017. I wake up every morning wondering. I go to sleep at night wondering if we're all going to wake up all dead some morning because he's had a Twitter frenzy and decided to nuke the planet.
But wait a minute, Bob. When did Twitter ever become the say all for our president?
Well, he made it that because he
wrong with that.
He was
and the fact that was MSM.
No, there is something wrong with it. The official pronouncements of the president should not come over a social media platform that is, for all intents and purposes, a sewer. I mean, I play on Twitter,
but
it's a sewer.
It's become. He made it that. And Bob, you know that's true. Because people in general will tweet or do whatever they do, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, or whatever, say whatever they're going to say. But overall, there's a lot of great, wonderful people out there. And really, if we didn't have this resistance movement, which I adore, for God's sakes, there's so many, and what they did to Acosta, I cannot believe that they have one
operating mode right now, Rhonda, and that is to keep the base inflamed. Now, their base is about 33% of the American people.
Thank you. Very small percentage.
But they showed in 2016 that with a little help from their tovarishes, they could eke out a victory. They're hoping they can do the same thing again. Because the thinking goes that if you start out at 33%, then all you got to do is get another 17.1%, and you're in. And the terrifying,
no,
the terror,
you know, well, just hold, honestly, hold. God, I don't think that's going to happen, Bob.
Yeah, but just hold
because
on here, because 90% of Republicans approve of the job that Donald Trump is doing.
Yeah, but you better think about this for a minute. When he did that tax cut, they made a lot of money. And everything is about money. And when they made that tax cut, those people, the majority of them are millionaires and billionaires, and they were so happy about it. And let's talk about the lower percentage, which is the 82 and beyond us. Let's just grab a percentage. 80% down. Americans who work every day and toil and drive trucks, work hard, pound nails. Those people are never going to see their tax cut, never like that upper cut. And he knew that. And the whole thing about it was a scam. What blows my mind is that there are Americans that have not figured that out yet. It's like, please, people, figure out that was a scam. And yet you got people going to his rallies with these little red hats going, scream, USA, USA. And he uses these things like immigration and all these things that get people worked up. My God Almighty, for heaven's sakes, immigrants are the last of our worry. We as Americans, we don't have to worry about these people coming up, and all of a sudden, mysteriously, the caravan is not an issue. We haven't heard from it. We don't even hear about it on the news. And a lot of
Rhonda, the caravan was never an issue. The caravan was never a real thing. But now we've got God knows how many thousands of American service personnel who will pass Thanksgiving and Christmas away from their families.
Thank you, brother.
Staring out into the wastes of the Southwest desert, waiting for a threat that was never a threat to begin with, and was only a political prop to whip up a bunch of people who are dumber than damn dirt, so as to try to save his ass. And instead,
good
he got his ass
you.
Handed
good
to him.
For you. And let me tell you something. They're eating MREs, they say. Why can't they drive food trucks down there? We're in America, baby.
Right. It's not like
please
they're in a war zone.
But then again, Rhonda, if you were to give them tacos or whatever they want.
If you recall, though, back during the reign of error when George W. Bush attacked the innocent people of Iraq, it cost the military, because they contracted it out to Halliburton, something on the order of $29 a piece to serve a cheeseburger to a serving military member who was posted to Iraq. $29 yeah. per cheeseburger via Halliburton.
Yeah, yeah, imagine that. Imagine that. Really, bah. I'm just telling you, I'm a veteran. I cannot imagine. I saw the pictures there, and I was thinking, my God, looking back at the times when I served, if somebody sent me down to the borders and they said, we're going to protect you from these people coming over the border, let me tell you, I remember when I was in San Diego, and we drove over to Tijuana, had a wonderful time. I didn't see people crawling all over the place and over things. And I don't remember a time where we were scared to drive over to Tijuana from California. And in honesty, I think this is such a scam, such a political setup. And I'm really, Bob, I'm just going to point. And I think many of us as Americans are, and God, I swear to God, I hope there is a percentage of them that really believe this. And I'm gonna add something to this conversation. I went over to the whole animal society to help some kittens earlier today, and some woman said the immigrants are ruining the country. They're ruining the country. And I said, are you listening to Fox News or something? Because my family were immigrants. They came over Ellis Island, and they were Italian. And I remember my mother telling me that there was a time when they looked at them in a prejudiced way. They were considered a dark skin. And they were considered low class and kind of, but all of them became doctors, lawyers. They really did well for themselves. And the whole thing is, here I am arguing with this woman who's all of a sudden, I said, you must be listening to Fox News or Trump or whatever. Why are you so red-faced and flipping out over immigrants? For God's sakes, those are Trump has set people up like a reality TV show to, and this is what his play is, to make people think that there's these awful people coming, they're evil people. Well, for God's sakes, if my immigrants that came over from Ellis Island would have been considered evil, and they became surgeons,
well, make no mistake, Rhonda, first generation immigrants from anywhere tend to get shit on in this country. Okay.
Well, let me tell you what my grandfather
said. The Irish weren't white. The Irish weren't white. The Italians weren't white. The Jews weren't white. The Muslims aren't white. But the longer you stay, the whiter you get.
Bob, I know you get upset over all this, but listen to me. My grandfather, my great-great-uncle, Not just my grandfather, but I'm gonna mention my great great uncle. He used to unload cars at 12 years old when the trains would come through, and he said, someday I'm gonna make sure people respect me, and I'm gonna become a doctor. I'm gonna be somebody, and he became a surgeon, the best surgeon in our town. He built nursing homes and everything else. I'm not kidding you. This guy was a millionaire who came from nothing. So all I'm saying is we've got this idiot Donald Trump who has an alien brain who never had to suffer or go through anything that these people did, and then he's making calls on what people should do. We need to get him impeached, or we need to get him out. He has no clue of the American way. The American way has everything to do with immigration, everything to do with anything that you can think of in America that made America great, whether it's people from Ireland, Scotland, Italy, it doesn't matter, Hispanic, it doesn't matter. I don't care who they came from or where they came from. This is what makes America great, is that all of us came from somewhere else, and there is no American that came from, for God's sakes, this is disgusting. No American, the American Indians are the original Americans, and they came over and brought them smallpox and killed them and tortured them and did horrible things to them. And yet we have people today that have no understanding of the history of America. And I understand that maybe when they go to school, they learn this, that, whatever, and they're not really interested in history. But the history of America is very rich. And my God, for an idiot like Trump, how the hell did he make president? Can you please explain that to me? Really, honest to God, Bob, do you ever wonder how this idiot made president?
No, I don't wonder, because I saw it unfold in real time. You have to start by acknowledging that there are a lot more racists, Klansmen, skinheads, Nazis, neo-Nazis,
I live in the
all
South,
quite,
baby. I know all about that.
Yeah, most people in this country are even willing to try to acknowledge. That's one. Two, racism.
Yeah, but if it,
racism
you
is
haven't
a,
lived in the South, you don't know it like that.
Right.
You just don't.
Racism is alive and well in this country, and he plumbed it to its depths.
He knew how to plumb it out. Add into this
the fact that there was a massive amount of Russian interference in the information technology
networks,
and in
the
social
the
media,
networks.
And it worked.
Yeah, but the whole thing about that is that nobody wants to seem to acknowledge that. They bring it up. But nobody's really getting down to the wire on that. And that is a major important. And thank God that our House has Democrats now, because they're going to go after Mueller has, and with the protection of Mueller, we are going to get to that, and we will find out. And I am tired, as a veteran, as an American, of sitting here and listening, believe me. A lot of us don't listen to the news that much. I guess a lot of people don't. They might listen to sound bites. That seems to be the thing that works with Americans.
Well, that sets me apart because I've always been much more of a reader than a watcher. Because an ordinary package on television news might be 2.5 minutes. You cannot get a story into 2.5 minutes.
That's right, and you know that better than anybody because you. It, am I right? But didn't you work for CNN? CNN.
Yeah, I did. I did. That's why I was proud of them today
when they filed the lawsuit.
When
you did, what did you do, Bob?
I was in the radio division, and I did voiceover work.
Okay. So you have an overview of the understanding of how it works.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, I showed up and did my job. I did a lot of interviews. I cut a lot of tape. And I did top-of-the-hour newscasts and news feeds and the voiceovers for TBS and CNN, things like that. But to sit and say, oh, I know exactly how it works. No, I'm not that egotistical. But I've got an idea maybe of how it should work.
Really, to be honest, I wish more people knew about you, and I wish.
Well, I see you out there. I see you out there tweeting, and I appreciate it. If everybody, you know, if everybody who listens to this program who's on Twitter saw when I tweet out the podcast every evening and retweeted it, it'd get a lot more reach.
Really, Bob? Really, it's very important at this time in history because we are at the precipice. We have a lot on the line, and I don't think the average American, you know, really I understand that. You know, most people are going about their lives and doing what they got to do, and some people really are bored with politics. And I understand that.
I don't know that they're bored, Rhonda. There's a lot of people who are sick of it.
Yeah.
Myself included. Sometimes that's why I try to bring in the occasional non-political story, and I got a couple of them this evening.
And not only that, but there's a PTSD involved in that if you have to do that every day, all day.
No, I know people with real PTSD. I just get disgusted.
Okay.
I won't diminish the sufferings of other people who do. But I've seen a couple
of us veterans who do.
I know, and one of the great shames is that while Donald Trump has ridden the backs of our veterans, he sees them as nothing but political props, and the same for our active duty military as well, and that's why a bunch of them are, you know, sitting on the border, as you noted. Although I did get some good news. Well, it's not really good news, but headline, tempted by Whataburger, troops deployed to southern border scraped by on MREs and no electricity, citing a report from the New York Times. 5,600 U.S. troops rushed to the brown, dry scrub along the southwest border to deal with the approaching Central American migrant caravans, are going through the motions of an elaborate mission that appeared to be set into action by a commander-in-chief determined to get his supporters to the polls. And that's why we don't hear anything about it anymore. But they're not far. Hold on, Rhonda. They're not far at all away from a daggum Whataburger, and that's got to be absolutely maddening. And thanks to Sparky for sending that along. Rhonda, I'm going to run along now. I'm going to run along now, so some other folks can get into the conversation. But I did enjoy your. I enjoyed your call.
Sorry.
Don't apologize. Don't apologize.
Yeah.
You did fine, and I'm glad you finally called. And hey, look at you. You got through just fine, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. And really, to be honest, because of my PTSD, many times I don't call you. Okay? And there are many of us probably out there that avoid that. So tonight I decided, Jesus. We gotta do this. I'm gonna call. Bob.
All right, and you know what? I'm hoping more people will follow your lead, Rhonda. You have yourself a wonderful evening and a belated happy Veterans Day, and I hope we will talk soon. You take care. All right.
Amen. All right. Thank you, brother.
Bye now.
Bye bye.
And that's Rhonda calling from I do believe the Old Dominion. I did see a couple of beeps come in. If you want to get in on the conversation, you're more than welcome to. Area code 304-640-2829 or 844-843-4676 and 304-574-8178, Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype. So it is 3 minutes past the hour, and we kind of need to take a bite out of the $365 we got laying around, the $365 hole that we're in, because by prayer meeting Wednesday, it'll be $565, and I'll have to have the deacons. They're the laziest lot you've ever met in your life. and they don't like having to pass the plate all evening long. So if we could take a bite out of that, that would be tremendous. Darlene with a note back when I mentioned the Halliburgers. Darlene in Connecticut said, $29 a cheeseburger, and our servicemen and women weren't even properly outfitted with protective gear when over in Iraq and Afghanistan. And the Bush administration had to be called out and shamed for it before that was corrected. Was it ever corrected? Depends on your definition of corrected, Darlene. Halliburton certainly was happy with the outcome. Yeah. Oh, God, the conversation in the chat room. Give me a second here. Foam cups in the chat room saying, this radio show needs more boofing, goddammit. You can't handle the boof! Thank you, Michael and Madison. That one just, that one's evergreen. That's just evergreen. But back a little bit earlier, I had mentioned E.W. Jackson. This guy's a real Lulu. In a civilized country, we would chase him down with a net and a Thorazine dart and a blowgun. I believe, unless I'm mistaken, yes, he was once upon a time the lieutenant governor of Virginia. And naturally, when he had to stop being lieutenant governor because somehow or another his personal jihad against Tagay didn't work out, well, wingnut welfare is wingnut welfare for a reason. And he got himself a radio program. And as I've mentioned before, the problem with doing white wing radio, even if you're an African-American man, as E.W. Jackson is, you still have to work at one-upping the Lulu with the Lulus with whom you are in competition. There is no money in white wing radio in simply delivering the news or delivering it without salting in a few dozen lies. I mean, I don't simply deliver the news. I bring some funny voices and some interesting uses of English and Middle English and perhaps Anglo-Saxonisms and God only knows a few words of Germanic origin. Quicken. But generally speaking, I do try to report facts and then talk about what I think those facts mean. This does not happen over in wingnut welfare broadcasting world. Witness E.W. Jackson. I should probably issue a hockey puck warning. Well, generally, but for the African American members of this community, because if I understand from previous responses, there will be a lot of head shaking and, you know, what the actual going on. Oh, golly. John with an email says, hey, Bob, can you at some point talk about Article 5 in the Constitution? There are some Democrats saying that if Republicans open up an Article 5 convention, they can then rewrite the Constitution. I read Article 5 several times, and it does not seem to indicate that. John, if you want to, sometime when you've got some time, call in and we'll work through it together. Because it can get powder dry, or better yet, maybe, you know, because Dr. Bill and I have done this extensively from time to time, but I can't begin to tell you where it would be in the archives. Maybe I need to get Dr. Bill involved in this too. Take care of the E.W. Jackson thing here, because, again, this is some 200-proof, top-shelf wacky. E.W. Jackson fancies himself a political strategist. The problem with E.W. Jackson is the last time he tried political strategery, he wound up not being a member of the state government of Commonwealth government of Virginia anymore. But he, like other white wing whackadoodles, and just because he's a man of color doesn't mean he's not a part of the white wing. The white controls the white wing. The white wing is the right wing. The right wing is the white wing. And, well, you've got your Jesse Lee Petersons and E.W. Jacksons in there. Because, well, image. Optics. That's the word we use, isn't it? Optics. As the white wing would say, you want an urban perspective when everybody else understands that urban means black. Mm-hmm. Just like suburban means white, as in suburban women. That's a millionaire for-profit media term meaning white ladies. Now, E.W. Jackson took to the radio today, last week. And, yeah, this is just too damn good. I mean, this is swirly straw in the cheap tequila good. It involves, of course, and I could save this for tomorrow, but it will be up to our eyeballs in religious madness tomorrow anyway. God has played a trick on the Democrats by letting them have control of the House of Representatives. You got that? I told you this was going to be fun.
House. Okay. So Democrats will be in control of the House. And that means that President Trump is likely to be investigated ad infinitum, ad nauseum, over the next 2 years. And that may seem like, wow, that's a terrible thing. But you know what I really believe, folks? I've been praying about this and thinking about this.
Well, good. I'm so glad he's been praying.
You know what I believe? I believe
that. Tell us what you believe.
That this is God engineering this thing. Because I believe that these leftists have gone so far off the deep end.
Mm-hmm. Leftists so far off the deep end, you know. They were there all during the election cycle chanting, workers of the world, unite. You have nothing to lose but your chains. And the machine of the machinery of capital is oiled with the blood of the workers. And yelling, to the barricades, to the barricades, to the window, to the wall. Yeah. These leftists.
That putting them in the spotlight, giving people like Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi and that whole crowd an opportunity to be seen for who they really are.
Is this guy on terrestrial radio? Does he come with a warning? Do not listen while operating heavy machinery. You may drive it into a ditch or a phone pole. I mean, it's 13 minutes past the hour here, and I mean, you know, it's not like I start fading. No, but I'm feeling a little sleepy. Better bring the heat or something, EW. I mean, that's what it is. It's hypnotism. That's what it is, hypnotism.
And what they really stand for is going to make 2020 a rout.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Democrats out there being all law and order, and the president's not above the law, is going to wind up making 2020 a rout, and the Republicans are going to take all 435 seats in the House of Representatives, and then Jesus can come back or something. I don't know. You know, tequila may not be strong enough.
That the American people, not these far-left crazy elites who think that they know what's best for everybody, their status, they're essentially...
Elites. Far-left crazy elites. How much you reckon old E-dubs pulling down every year in wingnut welfare? Because I'm guessing it's been a long time since he ate beans and rice for supper every day. I'm guessing it's been a long time since old E-dub had that classic Republican menu of oatmeal, skip a meal, and miss a meal, you know, the Republican three meals a day. This guy appears on Urban Family Communications, Urban Family Talk. Huh. Wonder if this is like the black Americans, both of them, for the president's agenda. That ran those racist ads in Arkansas and St. Louis. I wonder if the same people are behind that. Well, we just don't know, do we?
Marxists. They're essentially socialists. They're essentially atheistic secularists.
Well, he got him a bunch of adjectives, don't he?
But they think they know what's best for everybody. And as the country sees...
You know, that is a hilarious fucking statement coming from a guy... who wants to control every uterus in the United States. They think they know what's best for everybody, these Marxist, atheistic, socialist... They know what's best for everybody. What about the precious little fetuses? Make sure the pregnant ladies stay pregnant till they give birth to the babies, and then we won't give a fuck about the babies. And what you gotta do is take the roofie and you put it on the pudding pop and... Never mind. And again, this guy goes into absolute paroxysms of, well, maybe not. Maybe he's not into the paroxysms anymore. But he used to have purple polka dotted blue screaming hissies about the gay people and how the gay people was going to destroy America and couldn't anybody get married anymore in America because of the gays getting married and is going to destroy the sacred holy institution of biblical marriage. It was defined by one man trading a female in exchange for another man giving him some fucking goats. Right, but the left thinks they know what's... But the right wing, the white wing, they really do know what's good for America. And what's good for America is making sure that all the women's carry all the babies to term and can't make the ficky fick without making a baby. Right.
What their real vision is for America, I think people are going to turn away from them in droves. And what happened in 2018 is only, it is just a dress rehearsal. It is a feint, okay? It is a feint towards some presumed victory they think they're going to have somewhere down the road. It is a feint.
Didn't they just have the victory? I mean, or is this still the Trumpian idea that you win by losing badly? It's just a lot of work. Earther, 435, I thought the GOP was going to get 736. On E.W. Jackson's show, are people allowed to call each other Urban? What's up, Urban? Or what's up, Irby? Just a little bitty jingle for that. You know, last time I heard of anybody saying "What's up, Urban" was when the president of the Ohio State University called the Ohio State football coach and told him he needed to sit out a couple of games, but never mind.
To get them to uncover, to expose themselves. You know, like in boxing, you know, a lot of times.
He's in the hands of the goddess of irony. Most of the cases of politicians exposing themselves are usually, well, Republicans, but don't tell that to E-Dub here. Don't smarten him up.
To not uncover, to expose themselves. You know, like in boxing, you know, a lot of times the knockout punch comes after a feint so that the boxer thinks the punch is coming from one direction, it comes from another, and he doesn't even see it coming. I really believe that's what's going on here. That God is faking them out.
God is Muhammad Ali? Well.
That they think now they're in the catbird seat because Nancy Pelosi is going to become Speaker of the House, and they're going to have a few votes in the House to try to control the House, and, you know, they're going to be in charge of committees and all that, and they're going to investigate the president. But I think what they're going to do is just show that they are stark, raving mad.
There's an old saying from the playground. Takes one to know one. Because like I said, on any given day, I think you could chase down E.W. Jackson with a butterfly net and a blowgun and a Thorazine dart. God is faking out the Democrats. Yeah, God's going to juke Nancy Pelosi right out of her pumps and run a wheel route toward the end zone. Ooh-wee. I'm telling you. But you get a sort of an idea listening to a clown like this of where what passes for their minds are. They don't realize they have a problem. They think somehow or another there was an aberration that led to, and not a whole bunch of hard work, that led to this massive House victory. But I would be, it would be improper if I did not acknowledge that being as how we are Democrats, or being as how Democrats are Democrats, there is every possibility in the world of snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. I return to something I've been talking about, namely these seemingly incessant cries from people who really don't have a really particularly high quality understanding of process. That by God, come January, we start the impeachment hearings right then and there. I mean, I guess that would be fun. But I'm so spoiled by the idea of actually working with facts that I would far rather see a whole bunch of investigations take place, you know, just as old E-Dub here mentions. I'd like to see Maxine Waters issue a ream of subpoenas. I'd like to see subpoenas flying out of Elijah Cummings' committee on carrier pigeons, if necessary. I'd like to see Gerald Nadler dig and dig and dig until he's living inside of Donald Trump's skull every time his little eyes close, his beady little eyes. And if somewhere along the way evidence is developed of significant lawbreaking that rises to the level of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors, which is what the Constitution says, then maybe impeachment is appropriate. But to holler impeachment before the first committee has been impaneled, before the first witness has been subpoenaed, is not a great idea. And I say this as someone who would love to see Donald Trump impeached and removed from office. But I have to take into account the time frame. All these investigations that we want to see are going to take months. I will probably be complaining about the coming of propane season again before any of them have reached anything resembling a conclusion. In other words, a year. Or from the moment that this Congress is sworn in, a good 10 or 11 months. And then, after the passage of another month or two, it'll be 2020, and we'll be back in full-on, hardcore, sweat-condition alpha campaign mode. And the House will be trying to save its to save itself again. Our majority will be trying to save itself. And we'll be having what I hope are earnest conversations about how to take away every goddamned Republican seat that's up for re-election, and that's 20 of them, and preserving every Democratic seat, and that's something like 13 of them. It becomes, as I hope you can see, a matter of time. And don't think the American people will let Democrats away the way they did with the Republicans when the Republicans impeached Bill Clinton. It was a bullshit impeachment. And the conventional wisdom says, well, you know, the Republicans paid a price in the next election. I don't remember in 2000 the Republicans losing the House of Representatives or the Senate. I remember the Senate being close, but not that close. I remember the Senate changing hands by one vote with, what was his name, Jim Jeffords of Vermont? Wasn't he the guy who occupied the seat that Bernie's now in? Yeah. Let's see. Lee in New York. Goats? Did you just say that men traded a woman for fucking goats? Oh, those poor goats. Well, yes, I did say that. And, well, human history is human history. Ron and Raleigh, what do you think? If you were to guess, what do you think old E-Dub pictures in his mind what Auntie Maxine and the rest of the leftists want to do to the country? What does a democratically led America look like? I'm asking for a friend. Well, friend. E-Dub hears that, or sees that in his mind's eye, and it's a tiny little mind and a tiny little eye. And he sees wild-eyed Marxists marching through the street, passing out free health care and hammocks and food to undeserving people who don't deserve because they don't love Jesus and don't vote Republican, and how dare they want to go to the doctor when they're sick. It'll be a goddamn socialist wonderland, Ron. And America will be destroyed on the altar of making sure that children have enough to eat and don't go to bed hungry at night. When we all know that the Bible says that if a man will not work, neither let him eat. Starve, said John Hagee. By God, that applies to the children, too. Remember when Newt Gingrich said that little kids should replace the janitorial staff in their schools? Because I do. So as if, old E-Dub wasn't enough, this is, after all, Titanic Tuesday. We also have a guy that is a fairly new arrival to the program, Josh Bernstein. Now, we heard from this guy a couple of weeks ago. And apparently he hasn't gotten any better, and the meds haven't kicked in. He has declared, and you're going to hear it with your own ears, there's a reason I don't just read these quotes. I don't want to be accused of taking him out of context. He is all head up over something that voters did in the state of Washington. It was called Initiative 1639. It raised the age for being able to buy a semi-automatic rifle to all of 21 years. It also said that if you want to buy a semi-automatic rifle in the state of Washington, you need to pass a background check. You need to take a safety course. And you got to wait 10 business days before you can have your semi-automatic assault rifle that has, whose only purpose and only design initiative was the slaughtering of other human beings in rapid fashion. Now, Initiative 1639 didn't have a damn thing in it about coming to take our guns or anything remotely resembling it. So that takes us to Josh Bernstein. Get the hockey puck. I mean, is that, when you hear this, you're going to have to ask yourself, and this is, string your thoughts together, Bob. Keep it together, keep it together. Remember Cesar Sayoc? Remember in the wake of his arrest how I asked how it is that down in South Florida people just toddle around in vans festooned with photos of Donald Trump and right-wing iconography and pictures of liberal enemies with crosshairs placed over their faces? Remember how I asked, you know, is that just a day that ends in Y in South Florida? And so the cops don't ever pull anybody over and go, hey, buddy, what's with the crosshairs? Remember? Yeah. Well, if you ever wondered, and you didn't, so I'll not make that a question, I'll make this a statement. The Cesar Sayocs of this world and the Robert Bowerses of this world are made, not born. And so while I'm sure the NRA and Josh Bernstein himself, he doesn't work for the NRA, he's just giving the milk for free. They don't even have to buy the cow, as best I know. Well, if somebody was to show up and say, hey, Joshy, maybe you might not Might want to think about couching your arguments in slightly different form. They would howl like stuck pigs. Well, you take away our First Amendment rights. Well, here's the First Amendment, our fetishized version of it, at work.
If they try to go door to door to confiscate law-abiding citizens' guns from them to comply with this flawed and unconstitutional initiative, there's going to be bloodshed.
Now wait, there's going to be bloodshed. Like, calls to mind that wonderful scene from the first Men in Black movie.
You can have my gun when you pry it from my cold dead fingers. Offer accepted.
Then, you know, the bugs wandering around Manhattan in an Egger suit. Want a sugar water. There's going to be bloodshed, Josh Bernstein says. Now, he's absolutely fixated on the idea that this Washington State initiative that people are going to have their guns taken from them. Again, there is nothing in the law about that. It just says that you got to wait 10 days to get your weapon of mass destruction, and you need to be 21 years old, and you need to have a background check, and, well, you need to, again, go through a safety course so that maybe you won't freedom protect yourself. Happens. Gun just went off. But there will be bloodshed, he says.
If they try to go door to door to confiscate law-abiding citizens' guns from them to comply with this flawed and unconstitutional initiative, there's going to be bloodshed. There's going to be bloodshed. There's no question about
it. What kind, Josh? Tell us about it.
The Second Amendment states, the right of people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Yeah, it does. Now read us the sentence that comes before that, dumbass. It's not even a sentence, it's a clause. It's a pity there's no, the Second Amendment doesn't have a sanity clause. Nah, you can't fool me, there ain't no sanity clause. I don't want to rely upon my memory. A well-regulated militia, there it is, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security, and you know what, the framers of the Constitution, they capitalized militia kind of the way Donald Trump capitalizes nouns on a random basis. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, comma, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, comma, shall not be infringed. Now, again, not to get all art of word-knowing-y about it, but there's a shit ton of commas in there. A well-regulated militia, comma, being necessary to the security of a free state, comma, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, comma, shall not be infringed. That tells me that things like being necessary to the security of a free state, comma, and the right of the people to keep and bear arms, comma, those are dependent clauses. What the sentence actually says is a well-regulated militia shall not be infringed. But old Joshy here, well, Joshy's obsessed with that dependent clause, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So that two entire clauses just go by the boards. And look, if you're a gun goober, I guess that's what you want to hear. But if you've got any kind of passing interest in the facts, not so much. Back to Joshy.
Shit. There's going to be bloodshed. There's no question about it. The Second Amendment states, the right of people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Is this the part of the program where I should probably mention that Josh Bernstein is he is shaved smooth up top? That he looks surprisingly like people that are often referred to as skinheads, who are often associated with the most violent elements of neo-Nazism and racism. Ron and Raleigh pointing out, who is that? Who is they? This is the slippery slope argument. Any laws governing the ownership of guns is just the first step in confiscation. These people are truly without sane. That's a nice linguistic construction there, Ron, and you have my undying respect for it. They are without saying. They're like a David Bowie album. This guy's like a old David Bowie album. Aladdin sane. There's going to be bloodshed if they try to confiscate the guns, which no one is trying to do. But tucked away in there is the idea that the bloodshed will be caused by the people who have the guns, not the people confiscating them. Jack in Shreveport says, sounds like Josh is kind of, you know, scripting. Isn't that what David Nyward said? Josh doesn't seem like he's describing anything his listeners need to know. It's more like he's suggesting something. Stochastic terrorism. And Dave Nyward said the better term for that is scripted terrorism. Meanwhile, he's got a graphic fonted up behind him because he's got all kinds of highfalutin technology to use because, again, it's wingnut broadcasting, wingnut welfare. And it's a graphic showing a picture of Chairman Mao, I-1639, Commie Schools Safe Commies. The Second Amendment is now almost non-existent in this state.
What, Edith, huh?
Oh, let's continue.
This infringes upon people's rights to have access to a gun.
Here's the problem. Well, okay, the basic problem is that Josh Bernstein's a goddamn idiot. But even the Heller decision, in the Heller decision, fat dead Tony Scalia said that there is nothing in the Second Amendment or the Constitution that prevents states, counties, municipalities from passing laws regarding ownership and possession of firearms as long as they pass constitutional muster. This is a reasonable initiative in the state of Washington. But we're not done.
And to exercise their Second Amendment rights. Many Washington state gun owners will and should defy, that's right, defy Initiative 1639.
Here's the funny thing. How are they going to defy it? You can challenge it in court. I'm sure it will be. And we will have the NRA to thank the next time somebody, and they'll maybe get an injunction against the implementation of 1639. And while the injunction's in effect, maybe somebody that Josh Bernstein has whipped into a white, and I do mean white hot frenzy, will shoot up a school or a movie theater or a shopping center or a synagogue or a mosque or a church. And when they do, using the semi-automatic assault rifle that they bought during the pendency of the injunction, well, that'll be on people like Josh. Not that they're worth a damn at taking responsibility. No, hell no. But he wants them to defy the ban. And it's not even a ban. It's a limitation on purchase. So what's he want people to do? Go to the counter at Cabela's there or Jim Billy Joe Bob's Guns R Us and say, I want to buy me an AR-15 and about 1,000 rounds of ammunition. I know, wrong voice for Washington, but work with me. And the guy says, well, okay, we'll go through your... No, I ain't going through no goddamn paperwork. I want my gun. I got my money right here. I'm going to put the money on the table, and you're going to put the gun on the counter, and I'm going to take the gun away, and you're going to take the money. Because I is resisting Initiative 1639. Well, sir, I'm sorry, I can't do that. They'll take away our fire. God damn it, I want my gun! And then he's going to do what? Shoot the poor schlub behind the counter? Man, I wonder if Dave Nyward's seen this. May have to send this along to him.
And do whatever it takes to secure their Second Amendment rights. I will leave it at that. I don't want to say much more, but I'm sure.
Except he's not going to leave it at that. This is a 1 minute and 41 second clip, and we're at 104, so we got a good 37 seconds of not leaving it at that.
You understand, and you can read through the lines. I am a huge supporter of the police and law enforcement.
I don't think he's that huge. He looks kind of scrawny to me, but never mind. But when he starts saying he's what a supporter he is of law enforcement, you know there's a but.
Leave it at that. I don't want to say much more, but I'm sure you understand and you can read through the lines. I am a huge...
Jesus Christ. Yeah, he's huge. He's actually telling the Robert Bowerses and the Cesar Sayocs of the world exactly what he wants them to do by saying, whatever it is that you infer from whatever I have said is what you're supposed to do. Wow. And I'll warrant this guy's not even in the state of Washington. Damn near guarantee it. Let's go back to where he's huge.
You understand, and you can read through the lines. I am a huge supporter of the police and law enforcement. I always have been, and I always will be. But I'll tell you right now, I won't shed one tear, not one tear, if I find out that an officer is wounded or killed trying to confiscate weapons from law-abiding citizens in any state.
What the hell happened to Blue Lives Matter? I guess they don't matter that much if the Blue Lives are lawfully doing their job and they somehow interfere with this sick fucker's fetish. I will not shed one tear. Not one tear if I found out that an officer is wounded or killed trying to confiscate weapons from law-abiding citizens in any state. Now, he's already told people to read through the lines because he's not good at the art of word knowing. It's read between the lines, dumbass. And so if he whips up somebody into a white, and I do mean white hot fury in Washington, and they start squeezing off rounds, hollering, the police is coming to get my guns. Well, Josh Bernstein has said that he's on the side of the Robert Bowers or the Cesar Sayoc. This is your First Amendment. Church it. Yeah. And I have some thanks to send out. Barry, thank you very kindly, Barry. Barry has taken us down to $315 for the evening. Thank you so much, Barry. Thank you for jumping in there with Gary and Gaia and with our buddy Glenn. Thank you so much. Another 15 bucks, another 20 bucks, and we're down below 300 bucks, and that makes it not quite as terrifying tomorrow. Thank you. Thank you, Barry. There are a number of members of our community who live in Washington State. I'm sure they know far better than I about Initiative 1639. I would imagine if you were a member of the Horn Family Community Congregation, you went out and you voted in Washington State, you probably voted in favor of Initiative 1639. Because there is no particular infringement upon the Second Amendment by having a person wanting to buy the kind of weapon that you can use to slaughter lots of school children really quickly. There's no burden on the Second Amendment in making them wait 10 days so that we can find out if they're cray-cray. No burden whatsoever. And there's no burden upon the Second Amendment if the sale is declined because the individual has no business owning, you know, say, because they've got a history of domestic violence or a felony or repeated commitments for mental health issues. There's no burden to the Second Amendment in not letting that sale go through. Mm-mm. Not at all. Ooh, but boy, I tell you what, the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christians down in Florida are right pissed off because in Florida they just passed a new law that allows felons to register to vote. Well, why are they pissed off? Because Nicholas Jacob Cruz, the monster who slaughtered the innocents at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. Well, back last July, he registered to vote. Yep, he sure did. And he registered to vote. It'll come as no surprise to you. As a Republican. Mm-hmm. When he registered to vote in July, he gave his home address as the county jail. And he was entitled to vote because he is not yet a convicted felon. Broward County records have indicated that back in 2016 and 2014 and 2012, inmates at the jail have voted in elections. The very same jail where Cruz is presently awaiting trial. Broward County Sheriff's Office spokesman Veda Coleman Wright said, "It's absolutely normal. It's his constitutional right. Nothing different happened this year from any other year." None of this meant anything to a guy by the name of Andrew Pollock. His daughter Meadow was one of the children slaughtered by Nicholas Cruz. He went on Fox and Friends, Fox and Fiends. When the word got out that Nicholas Cruz had been allowed to vote. And over on Fox and Fiends, Mr. Pollock, and I cannot begin to even comprehend the grief he must feel. Mr. Pollock said, "It just shows you how despicable these Democrats are that they'll stoop that low to go into the prison, the jail, and register these criminals. It's never been done in 20 years. But he said, fortunately, the plan failed because there was a tip from deputies at the jail. and Broward County didn't send the inmates their ballots in time to vote. That's when the attack blonde, who apparently now sits between Ducey and Kilmeade, said, Katie Pavlich said, they probably shouldn't be voting anyway. You know what Fox and Fiends didn't mention? That yes, in July, as I mentioned, Nicholas Cruz registered as a Republican. That did not slow Pollock down, however. He declared that there was a conspiracy. We're trying to steal the Senate election from Rick Skeletor Scott, the man behind the single largest Medicare fraud in the history of the United States. Before he went on Fox and Friends, he said, we won't allow these unethical liberal Democrats to steal at Scott for Florida U.S. Senate seat. They stoop so low as registering a known mass murderer to vote. How can you even trust a recount when the ballots may be compromised? Again, failing to note that Nicholas Cruz had registered to vote as, a Republican. The goddess of irony. Jack in Shreveport with a note. Josh again. Oh, come on. Isn't this something that should be forwarded to the FBI or the FCC or something? What the... Well, maybe. But see, it's not a present threat. He's just saying that the cops should be shot if they try to confiscate any arms. Any goons. So, under our fetishized understanding of the First Amendment, Josh Bernstein is protected. Arthur, just one more question, ma'am. Why do these right-wing jackasses always have the air of a whiny teenager whose mother just ordered him to clean his room, you know, after the cockroaches have complained about the smell, and because you can't walk in there without stepping on some unknown thing? Some unknown sticky thing. Just one more question, ma'am. Yeah, he does sound kind of whiny. Whiny Nazi. Jude in the Great Northwest reminds us, under the initiative in Washington, semi-automatic rifles, quote-unquote, for hunting, unquote. And now they'll need to receive training every 5 years to renew their license. My God, what a way to slaughter animals while enjoying the outdoors. Oh, don't get me started. But that brings us to the end of the program. Thanks, everybody, for joining in this evening. Thank you for the calls. Thank you for the emails. Thanks to all of you, in particular this evening, Barry and Gary and Gaia and Glenn, for jumping in to make sure that we didn't have a goose egg 2 days in a row. Thank you very kindly. Again, Gary and Gaia would love to have a new subscriber company on this 13th day of the month. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaged in the conversation, in whatever means you so do. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks this evening to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Listening live this evening from the Emerald Isle. Really enjoying the new 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. time slot. He's the Larry King of Ireland. No, he's not. I'm not. Really, it'd be great to boost the Irish contingency of the Horn Family Community Congregation. Hey, thanks. Thanks to David for a very, very kind email. Just to give you a, just to share it with you real quick. David wrote earlier. I'm reminded of how I found your show so long ago. I was sitting at my computer looking for a live stream to listen to while I did some housework, and I saw you on iTunes as a Southern liberal radio show person. I didn't even know such a thing existed, so I tuned in. At that very moment, you had a completely batshit caller going on and on about gays this and Jews that and those terrorist Muslims, blah, blah, blah. Bless your heart, Bob. You actually sat there listening to her unhinged insanity, and I sat there because I just wanted to see how it played out. Finally, she said she hoped you had a blessed day, because obviously she was a good Christian lady, and hung up. You were quiet for about 10 seconds before saying, I need a drink. I posted about your show last night, and you replied. Thanks, David. Thank you very kindly. And thanks very kindly to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.